3 weeks ago, when Russ and I were in Port Wing, Wisconsin, visiting his mom, we found an emaciated cat lurking around where her juncos, doves, and migratory sparrows hide out. She was a blue-eyed beauty, a Himalayan looking like a long-haired Siamese, but lacking the squashed-in face that some people breed Himalayan cats to have. She had a husky, cool meow that reminded me of Jean Arthur in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, so I decided to call her Clarissa. Russ's mom's nearest neighbor is over a quarter mile away, but I drove over there to see if they'd lost a cat and put up a notice in the store, leaving my phone number as a contact, and then we drove home with her. I contacted the Bayfield County Sheriff's Office and several veterinarians and humane societies to see if anyone had reported a lost cat. I had to keep her quarantined from my own cats and Photon, and first thing in the morning I called my vet and asked if they could squeeze us in so she could have the once-over. The first thing they discovered was that she was a neutered male, so suddenly Clarissa turned into Clarence. He had both roundworms and tapeworms. They ran several tests and learned that he was FIV positive. This disease, akin to HIV in humans, suppresses the immune system. It's only communicable to cats passing through the saliva, so can be given to other cats who share dishes or who bite or lick one another. Our family is at our limit in the number of pets we can properly deal with anyway, and now it was definite there was no way we could keep Clarence. But what could we do? I posted on Facebook and my blog and called various humane organizations, but most places euthanize cats with FIV because there's no cure and they don't want the disease to spread to other cats. 2.5 weeks went by. I was getting very nervous about finding him a home, and it wasn't easy dealing with him at home. When I was around, I could have him up in my home office, but even though he didn't seem the least bit interested in Archimedes, the poor little owl was petrified of him. So when I wasn't in the room, I had to keep Clarence in our basement garage. It was all very stressful, but at last a miracle happened. One of my birding friends on Facebook lives in Tucson, and friends of hers south of Madison, Wisconsin, had recently lost a cat. One thing led to another, and this past weekend I drove Clarence to his new home. Rescuing this one cat, which also saved all the birds he otherwise would have eaten, cost about $300 in vet bills plus the gas for driving 700 miles back and forth. It would have been far cheaper to have him euthanized right off the bat, and maybe more sensible after I found out he was FIV positive. I, of course, also had the option of just leaving him in Port Wing, ignoring his suffering and all the lost birds, but that runs against something deep in my soul. I don't know what the wisest way to deal with stray and feral cats is, but leaving them outdoors to spread parasites and diseases and kill wildlife is not the solution. People down the road from my mother-in-law allow their cats outside, and Clarence got into a few fights with them. They may have given him FIV, or he may have transmitted it to them. In addition to the danger feral and stray cats cause to people, spreading toxoplasmosis in their droppings, and the risks of spreading disease and parasites to other cats, current estimates put the number of birds killed by cats in the U.S. at more than 1 billion a year. I don't know what the best solution is, but tomorrow I'll talk about one misguided attempt to deal with feral cats in Washington, D.C. that may land a wildlife biologist in prison. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.